Today we're on Genesis chapter 27, which is about the last will and testament of Isaac. This lesson has been called many different things. It's about deception. It's deceiving people in your family. There's a lot of contradiction and conflict here. Basically pulling the wool over the eyes of the blind. It's rather a sad situation. Genesis chapter 27 starts out, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau his eldest son and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison." Alright, so here we have the scene. Now this is actually 62 years after Genesis chapter 25 had occurred. This is where, if you remember in the last lesson, they were disputing about Esau practically giving away his birthright for a bowl of soup. And 62 years later, we pick up this story in Genesis chapter 27. Isaac now is 137 years old, which happens to be the same age as Ishmael, his brother, when he died. Now Isaac giving out his last will and testament in this chapter is actually jumping the gun, because he lives 43 years after this. So right now, apparently he is concerned that he is going to die soon, and he shows a lot of infirmity. He is bedridden, and he is the same age as his brother when he died. So death appears to be on his mind. Now the people only appear in the story two at a time, never together. That would indicate that we are dealing with a split family. Verse 1, his eyes are dim. His eyes were dim. Without his eyes being dimmed, the deception that occurs later in this chapter would have been impossible. Isaac's infirmity was a gift of providence. Now, blindness is a symbolic. This is throughout the Bible here, that blindness is symbolic of unbelief. Now Isaac disregarded the declared prophecy of Genesis chapter 25 verse 23, which read that the elder shall serve the younger. Now Isaac intended to bless Esau, the firstborn, instead. Now, the biblical principle of prophecy is found in Isaiah 46, verse 10. Let's take a look at that. Isaiah 46, verse 10. The biblical principle of prophecy. Isaiah 46:10. Yeah, let's get back up a little bit into 9 here. It says, "For I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Okay, that is of primary importance in prophecy. What God says is going to happen, and He guarantees it by His omnipotent power. Now, the idea that the elder shall serve the younger, given in Genesis 25, verse 23, was going to be ignored, in that Isaac was going to bless Esau in spite of this. The term firstborn is the term used for inheritance. The firstborn was to always inherit. Now, Esau married Canaanite women. If you look at the last chapter, chapter 26 of Genesis, verses 34-35, and also Genesis chapter 28, verses 8 and 9, Esau married Canaanite women, willfully knowing the displeasure it would cause and the curse on such a relationship. Now, him marrying Canaanite women, it would be a cause for him forfeiting their primogenitory rights. Now, in spite of that, Isaac still calls him "my son." Now, apparently, Esau lived in his father's house or near his father's house, and had been married for 37 years at this time, because he married at the age of 40. Verses 2 through 4, we see where Isaac forces the blessing issue, because if you read ahead, he doesn't die until we come to chapter 35, verse 28. Which is indeed 43 years later. Now, Isaac likes Esau's food. Esau showed the same inclination with the bowl of soup in chapter 25, verse 33, where he was willing to give up his rights for a temporal item like food. Now, a bowl of soup doesn't last long. Now, Isaac also liked food, and he was willing to hand over the kingdom to somebody who disqualified themselves by marrying Canaanite women who had a curse on them, and by also selling his birthright. Now, we see Isaac intends, his intention here in this chapter is to hand over the inheritance to Esau, despite God's declared and clear will of Genesis chapter 25, verse 23. Now, in verses 5 through 13, Rebekah, who apparently stood nearby or was at Isaac's tent door and overheard things or was close enough to hear what was said, Rebekah comes up with a plan. Now, Rebecca came from a family of schemers, as you will see later with Laban. He always came up with plans to cheat and make things go his way. Now, Rebekah's plan is to take God's revealed will into her own hands and to help God out. Note in verse 13, the fulfillment of the curse does indeed fall on Rebekah when she sends her son at the age of 77 away forever in chapter 27, verses 43 and 44. So when Rebekah says, "May the curse fall on me," that indeed caused her to lose her beloved son, and she never saw him again. Now, in verse 12, we see the word deceiver simply means great deceiver, and this is the only place in the entire Bible that this particular word is used. Verses 14 to 33. Let's take a look at it. The plan was carried out successfully. Rebekah's plan of deception was carried out without a hitch. Now, this could not have happened without Isaac's eyes being blinded and Esau's covering. This all was providential. The plan was carried out successfully, fulfilling God's will, even through faulty actions of sinful man. Now, it's interesting, in verse 15, the word goodly garments. Now, some suppose these garments were the garments of Nimrod, the hunter. Genesis chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. And perhaps part of which still came from remaining scraps or pieces from Adam's covering of Genesis chapter 3. Anyways, this was considered a hunter's garb. One side note of interest, the constellation that we know today as the constellation Orion was named after Nimrod the hunter. Now, this garment was the garment of the firstborn. There were several tests that Isaac gave that had to be completed for Jacob to pass as Esau. And one of them was the garment, the smell of the garment, the feel of the hands and arms, and the back of the neck. What we need here to compare this with is the spiritual garment of being accepted. Matthew chapter 22, verses 10 through 14. In order to be accepted in the beloved, we have to have an acceptable, righteous garment. Now, Isaac smelled Jacob, and he smelled in verse 27, the smell of the field which God had blessed. His words were contrary to the curse of Genesis 3:17. the curse is the curse of death. Now, sin smells like death to God. We don't approach Him with sin on us, because we would stink like death in His nostrils. So we must base our entry into the throne room of God by first approaching the altar and becoming pure and sweet-smelling to Him. Verse 20 here, note this. Here we have Jacob pretending that he is Esau, and he's trying to sound and speak as Esau. And he says this. He says, Lord thy God. He's talking to Isaac, pretending he's Esau, and he says, Lord thy God, which would indicate that Esau didn't worship the same God as Isaac. The word Lord, Jehovah, is used here. So what that shows is that Esau was an idol worshiper. He worshipped idols along with the Canaanite women that he had married. So we see the real situation is that Isaac has the intention of handing over the inheritance to an idol worshiper. The plan was carried out successfully because Rebekah's plan was carried out successfully because God caused it to be successful. Later, Isaac ratifies the blessing when he realized that the declared prophecy of Genesis 25:23 indeed had come true, because he verified it by saying, "Yea, and he shall be blessed," in verse 33. So after all this deception had occurred and he realized what had occurred, then he agreed with the declared prophecy. Now, let's see here, verses 34 to 41, we see Esau's reaction and his non-blessing. See the New Testament comments on it in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 16 and 17. And it considers this as an appropriate destiny of the profane. Now, here we see Esau's reaction of crying and asking his father for an additional blessing. The Vulgate Latin translation says this, that he cried with the roar of a lion. Verse 29. Finally, the curse of those who curse thee. God will bless those who bless thee, and God will treat as his enemies their enemies. And the same thing is true of believers who are grafted in. Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 24. Now, Esau blames his brother for his problem. He also disregards God's will, as well as his own actions and attitude. Esau is only sorry for how things turned out, but not sorry for his own sin. Esau's inheritance turned out to be what is called Edom, and Edom was only a desert. Verses 40, the fulfillment of the yoke being broken is found in 2 Kings 8, 20 through 22. There, Edom was to be under the yoke of Israel, but it is prophesied here that it will eventually break the yoke. That breaking is found in 2 Kings 8:20 through 22. An additional note: this goatskin hair is not unlike human hair. This was also used in a deception in 1 Samuel 19, verse 13. Verse 31, the Targum of Jonathan adds that Esau killed a dog and cooked it for his father. Now, if you notice, there was some question, as you read this chapter, there was a question as to how quickly Jacob had, in the place of Esau, had gained the venison and cooked it. Well, in reality, Esau was right behind him, because shortly after Jacob left, Esau came through the door. So apparently Esau was cheating also. I thought there was a good little quote here on this passage concerning the last will and testament of Isaac. This was written several hundred years ago. It reads like this. It's by Sir Walter Scott. Just a couple lines here. It reads this: "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." That pretty well describes this chapter. And also, I'm going to read something out of a Matthew Henry commentary on Genesis chapter 27. I thought it was a good quote here. Matthew Henry. Here it reads: "Those who undervalue their spiritual birthright and can afford to sell it for a morsel of meat forfeit spiritual blessings. Esau here, who desired but a second-rate blessing, and the blessing separated from his birthright. Yet it is far short of Jacob's blessing. For him, God had reserved something better. In Jacob's blessing, the dew of heaven was put first, as that which he most valued. In Esau's blessing, the fatness of the earth is put first. For it was this that he had the principal regard to. Jacob shall have dominion over his brethren. Hence the Israelites often ruled over the Edomites. But the great difference is that there is nothing in Esau's blessing that points to Christ." Alrighty, that pretty much concludes the lesson, the information on Genesis chapter 27. So let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, we ask now that you'll bless your word and open our minds and hearts to it. Teach us, Lord, and make us obedient. And we ask that you'll bless the efforts of the hearers. First, in your name we pray. Amen.